You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And welcome back. Great to welcome you to the second half of the show. Daniel Libet has joined us many, many times from Sportico. Nobody better when it comes to the business of sports. And his latest involving the SEC revenue closing in on the NCAA. That is really an interesting story. Daniel, thank you, as always, for joining us. I mean, we're always interested in what you have to say. I think we're a little more eager to hear what you have found this time around. Good afternoon.
It's good to be with you, Paul.
So we knew the SEC was doing well, maybe not as well as you laid out. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, certainly. Well, I mean, of course, you're this is like preaching to the choir, talking to you about the power of the SEC here. But what struck me as interesting, I'd spent the last week or two diving into the tax returns of the SEC and looking at them compared to the NCAA, because there's been this sense, I think, many college sports observers have had, that there's been something recent and radical that has shaken up the power structure in college athletics. And that the NCAA has just sort of recently begun to cede some of its control. I think Mark Emmert is sort of openly advertising that he wants to give this back to the conferences. But if you look at the financial figures for the SEC and the NCAA, you really see that this has been a long time coming, that, you know, over the last 15, 20 years, the SEC has steadily gained on the NCAA in terms of annual revenue. And it's been able to do this without nearly anywhere in the ballpark of the overhead. I mean, the SEC has somewhere in like the 45 or 46 range of employees. The NCAA has 650 some. But, you know, these are very close. You know, the SEC is very close. And I think the TV deal in, that's set to start in 2024, 2025 is going to push it over the billion-dollar revenue threshold, where it will then join the NCAA as billion-dollar college sports organizations. And that was already on pace before Texas and Oklahoma decided to join in. So this is, you know, this is another way of understanding how the power is shifting away from the NCAA to, you know, specifically the SEC at the conference.
Now, Daniel, just to be clear, the numbers that you're looking at, this is obviously pre-Texas and Oklahoma, because that hasn't happened yet, and it's also pre the implementation of the new ESPN SEC deal, is it not?
That's right. So I look basically up until 2018, 2019. Obviously, last year was an outlier. The SEC and the Big Ten, for that matter, earned more revenue than the NCAA because of COVID interrupting the NCAA men's basketball tournament. But even before then, you could just see in you know, the early 2000s, the SEC was well behind the NCAA, you know, by almost like a fivefold figure in terms of annual revenue. And then in 2018, the SEC earned about $720 million in revenue, and the NCAA earned about $1.1 billion. So that's still far off, but percentage-wise, getting much closer. I mean, that's almost two-thirds of what the SEC was beginning to earn, almost two-thirds of what the NCAA earned. And again, to your point, this all predates what's going to be a huge jump in SEC revenue when the new TV deal with ESPN kicks in a couple of years.
Yeah, I'm not asking you to do a lot of projection. I know you're a reporter and you go through what you can get your hands on, but you've seen the numbers though, and when you add up the ESPN SEC numbers and then just make a guess on Texas and Oklahoma, I mean, we're talking about some serious money here, aren't we?
Yeah, easily over $1 billion. Just back of the napkin, if they're already earning in the $700 million range and their new TV deal is supposed to average out to about $330 million a year, I mean, that gets you pretty close to $1 billion right then and there. And again, that all was in place before Texas and Oklahoma, and the presumption would be that will only, I mean, maybe that will change the TV deal, probably only to the financial benefit of the conference, and bring on a host of other kinds of revenue. And that's sort of, you know, as the conference has compared to the National College Athletic Association, the SEC has been able to not just earn TV revenue, but it has a much more diversified revenue streams than the NCAA. The NCAA's revenue is almost entirely the television contract for March Madness, where the SEC has been able to earn proportionately a lot more money in terms of events, you know, the live event revenue from its conference championships.
Daniel, and speaking of the NCAA, you mentioned, you know, their CBS Turner deal, and we didn't have the tournament a year and a half ago. But do they have any ability to increase on that, or are they, have they reached a ceiling?
I mean, I think if I remember correctly, their TV deal is supposed to include some sort of uptick in the next couple of years, but they're kind of capped. They have a long-term TV deal that they're unlikely to be able to renegotiate for better money, at least before it expires. And again, you know, this is all coming in the context of power shifting to conferences, and specifically to certain few elite conferences. I think right now the NCAA's prerogative is to diminish its overhead, and this is something that the SEC has been able to, and other conferences have been able to earn their revenue without the liabilities and the financial consequences. I mean, you look at this just simply through legal expenditures that the NCAA has incurred versus the SEC since 2010. Between 2010 and 2018, the NCAA spent almost $250 million on legal expenditures. The SEC spent $12 million. So even though the SEC is getting closer and closer in terms of revenue, they have not dealt with the same sort of liabilities or overhead as the NCAA, in part because the NCAA has taken on that overhead and those responsibilities and obligations for college sports. I think the NCAA is trying to shift those burdens financially, legally, morally, et cetera, to other college sports entities. And, you know, I've been thinking about just the recent developments and the comments and criticism being directed towards Greg Sankey in the context of maybe the shift of the real power center of college sports going from the NCAA to the SEC. And it just seems like now, you know, over the last couple of weeks, Greg Sankey is beginning to, you know, become the college sports flat catcher that Mark Emmert has been for the last, you know, decade or so. And perhaps there's something to the fact fact that, you know, this shift is occurring, and people in college sports are looking for a new person to attack.
Yeah, I mean, and Daniel, it almost seems like he is getting blamed for everything, but I'm sure he'll be able to handle that, considering how his league is buzzing along. One more thing, though, before you go, and you mentioned Texas and Oklahoma, and I know you are dealing with projections, and what you primarily do is get inside the numbers and report, but I want to go back to what the perceived value is of those two schools, because a lot of people still don't understand it. I mean, I get calls from fans of competing schools, and they go, why is the SEC allowing Texas to come in whenever that date is? Is there a simple explanation?
Well, I mean, I Texas has tremendous value. It has its own television deal. It's one of the top five richest athletic departments in the country. To say nothing of the market and the state of Texas and being able to corner the entire state between having Texas and Texas A&M in your conference. So I think the, you know, the potential there for the SEC is obvious. And I think, you know, there's an impetus to expand at the conference level across the board, wherever conferences see fit. Obviously the SEC, as you know, one of the richest college sports conferences, doesn't need to just accumulate tons and tons of extra members. They can be much more selective and strategic, but Texas is one of the largest athletic departments in the country. Why wouldn't you want to have that, given what it's proven to be able to do on its own, or at least within the Big 12, and what you would then project it could do once it's attached to the SEC?
Daniel Libet from Sportico, some great reporting here on how the SEC has fared and how it's primed to eclipse the NCAA. Daniel, always great to have you on. You be well. Thank you so very, very much.
Thanks, Paul. You take care.
You got it. Daniel Libet, one of the premier reporters on the sports business front in the country. And we are heading to a break, an hour away from John Adams from Knoxville as Tennessee gets ready for Florida.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back. Great to have all of you here. Let's grab some more calls. Billy in Little Rock, you're on the air. Hello, Billy.
Hello, Paul. I'm calling to talk about Arkansas and the number of players they have from Texas and Oklahoma. They have like 40 players, over 40 players from Texas and Oklahoma, excuse me. And, you know, we have like the number 2, 5, 7, 9, and 10 rated players from Oklahoma. One of them is a running back named AJ Green, surely doing some good stuff. But what I'm calling about is after they get into the conference, you know, will they cut into a lot of our players that come from Texas?
You know, I don't know. I mean, Texas is one of the largest states in the country. It's like a small. It's not, well, let me correct myself. It's like a moderate sized country. So I don't really think it's going to have I think it's an advantage for Arkansas to be in that state. And I don't think Texas per se is going to make that big of a difference. I think there's just too many players there that can go around.
Well, I mean, you know, I remember, I mean, I'm old, so I started listening to them. I've listened to them since I was 64. I mean, well, since I was 10 years old, so I'm 74. So, you know, they've always gotten players from Texas. I mean, even back in the SWC days. But, you know, I'm not sure, you know, I mean, we really got a lot of players out of Oklahoma, which I was surprised about. But I think Sam Pittman has some connections up there.
What I would say is Arkansas is such a unique place that
it's not. I just don't think it's going to affect it. I think you go to Arkansas for a reason. And, yeah, I mean, the top players are always going to have Alabama, Oklahoma, Texas, Clemson, Georgia on their list. But I think Arkansas recruits a little bit differently. I think what I heard being in Fayetteville 2 weeks ago was this, that Arkansas has to clean up in the state, which I think it is now doing and wasn't doing. And then just, you got direction. You got places in all direction, but Oklahoma's right. It's not very far away, so you can get into Oklahoma and Texas very easily.
We got a kicker from Oklahoma too. That's a number one kicker in the nation named Cam Little, and we kicked four field goals against Texas,
He was good. Billy, I wouldn't. First of all, we don't know what is going to happen. Second of all, I would not. I would not be too concerned.
I may be gone. I may not be here.
You got a long way to go. But I think as long as Sam Pittman's around there, you're going to win a lot of recruiting battles. You be well. Thank you very much for the call. Let's check in with Kevin, who is in. Where are you, Kevin? Lexington.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you. Appreciate the call.
Hey, Paul, first-time caller. I really enjoy your show. Hey, I'm really shocked that Penn State and the B1G conference and I guess the pollsters, I mean, they think because Auburn's in Alabama that they beat Alabama. I mean, Auburn is, what, fourth or fifth in the West right now?
Yeah, I was on some show today, and I don't want to out the person who was on there. With me, but he said that Penn State beat a great Auburn team, one of the best teams in the SEC, and I'm like going, really? I think Auburn is an ascending team, but right now they're not one of the best teams in the SEC.
No, I do also want to bring up one other thing about that game because I watched it. And I think something has to be done about the targeting because on that goal line hit. I mean, that guy was coming off a tackle, could have put his hand down and lunged across the line. And, I mean, the guy did not lead with his helmet. There was helmet contact. But, I mean, I think they need to review these. And if there's not outright intention to go head-to-head, they need to start airing.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, I've heard a lot of my colleagues talk about that. And it's a big issue. Coaches talk about it all the time. And I mean, after a while, it sounds like we're all saying the same thing. I'm pretty sure they're listening, but it takes a while to undo the damage. I understand the intent of putting the rule in, but I think the officials have made their point. Anna is up next in D.C. How are you, Anna?
Hey, how are you, Paul?
We are doing great.
So I'm curious. In the past, you have doubted the Gators, including saying they would get blown out this past weekend. So after this recent game in the SEC Championship, will you finally admit that Florida can compete with Alabama? And if you still stand by it, what do you think the difference is?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt Florida can compete with Alabama. And, I think what the difference is that Florida has a lot better offensive coach in Dan Mullen than Alabama has in terms of a defensive coach in Pete Golding. And I say that knowing Nick Saban also coaches on the defensive side. But Dan Mullen, I think has just figured out some things. I think the programs are not exactly comparable, but because Alabama is a standalone team, I think Florida just needs to keep going in the direction it's going. I think a couple more players in Florida is going to be on a very elite level, which I think Dan Mullen has every intention of getting them. But right now, I don't know whether we'll see that game again or not. My gut feeling today is no. I think Georgia will get to the Atlanta instead of Florida.
Awesome. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't want to take anything away from what Florida has done, but it's going to take more than almost beating Alabama to be considered on the same level. Richard is in Mississippi. Go right ahead, Richard. Okay, Richard, don't go right ahead. Beverly is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Beverly.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I just wanted to make a comment. I think the Gamecock fans ought to be very proud of the coach they have this year. We showed him the highest respect for going out on the field when the boy got hurt, the first player of the game. And I think we should be proud to be a Gamecock.
Absolutely. Everyone want to sing?
And no matter what happens, I think we're in the right direction.
So you like what you're seeing so far under Shane Beamer?
I do. I think he's a very respectable young man.
Okay. Well, we will be talking to Coach Beamer on Friday afternoon when we are on campus. So let's continue with more phone calls here. And Hill is in Dothan, Alabama. Hello, Hill.
Hey, Paul. How's it going this afternoon?
Very well. Thank you.
All right. Just wanted to, comment on, that caller a minute ago talking about that he didn't feel that Auburn was one of the better teams in the SEC, and I guess you said that as well. I know we haven't done a lot, but I feel from what we've put in, right now just some teams don't look really good. I feel like we're in the top half of the better
teams.
Well,
I think Auburn, if you're ranking the SEC teams right now,
granted, we haven't played anybody.
Who, Auburn?
Granted, we haven't played any SEC teams.
If you were ranking the SEC teams, and we can do this collectively or not, you're going to go Alabama, Georgia, and then you can go in any direction you want, but you're probably going to include Ole Miss and Texas A&M and Florida before you get to Auburn.
Okay. I guess it'll all unravel and we'll find out. Good talking with you, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah, but Auburn has an opportunity here coming up. And I think we showed the Auburn schedule earlier, but, that game against LSU is really a bellwether game for this program. I've seen a lot of great Auburn teams go to Baton Rouge and lose. And last year, Auburn simply decimated LSU at Jordan-Hare. That's, to me, a chance for Brian Harsin to put his imprint on this program and to give fans the confidence, because a lot of really good Auburn coaches have lost down there. We're heading to a break. John Adams, final hour. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. And Glenn is in Florida. You're on the air. Hello, Glenn.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm a huge SEC fan, even though I went to the Naval Academy. And I want to get your take on a story I heard today as a Tennessee alum. I read today where Tennessee bought out – was going. I know you don't necessarily want to talk about next year's schedule, but Army was on Tennessee's schedule next year, and they bought out Army and took Army off the schedule. They paid Army $500,000 to not come to Knoxville, and they're going to play Akron now. And as you know, Army would have a good shot of beating them, whereas Akron has no shot of beating them. So I wanted your take as a Tennessee alum on Tennessee backing away from that game with Army.
I think it's pathetic because, first of all, I think whenever you can play a service academy, it's a tribute to your institution, and it shows great respect for them. And if you don't feel confident enough in beating a program like Army, then your program's in a world of hurt. So I didn't realize that, and I'm glad you told me. And I don't want to see a game against Akron. It's a waste of time.
Exactly. I mean, like I said, I went to the Naval Academy, and, the service academies have a lot of tradition.
Sure.
They're not always as good as the big teams, but Army's and Navy to a certain extent have played well against teams. Army took Oklahoma into overtime.
Was it Army that nearly beat Oklahoma a couple of years ago?
Yes.
I think
took
they
them to overtime.
Didn't they play Michigan too? I'm trying to remember that game last year.
Yep. And they almost beat them too.
Yeah, I remember Army watching that Oklahoma game, and of course my father served in the Army, so I've always been, even though I have a nephew that like you, went to the academy. You just, I don't know how you can't pull for them. And I don't know the circumstances. I'm sure what they're trying to do up there is buy wins for the coach, which is, I don't know. I mean, to me, you got a program like Tennessee. If you can't handle the playing Army, then, well, it's pretty obvious how I feel about that.
Yeah, okay, thank you, Paul. I just wanted your take on it because I thought it was pretty embarrassing.
Thank you for telling me that, and I'm glad we could talk about it because that's why we need an expansion of the playoff, because we're now almost to the point where we will see conference games the rest of the way. But if you're going to play a non-conference game, I mean, play somebody that sounds good, okay? I mean, Alabama is a 48-point favorite over Southern Miss, but at least it sounds good. I mean, you don't have to try to sell that game. You think Southern Miss, well, they had Reggie Collier 40 years ago and Brett Favre 30 years ago. They're a team that used to dominate that state in brief spurts. But Akron, please. I don't want to see Akron on my school schedule. Let's do you?
No.
Even Akron doesn't want to see. But anyway, David is up next in Birmingham. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great.
I'm a longtime listener. I grew up on stories. My mom talking bad about you whenever you used to talk bad about Alabama, you know, decades ago. But
David, let me stop you right there. I mean, I'm disappointed that you were brought up in a household where your mom talked bad about someone as...
We like you now, Paul. We like you now.
Okay. I mean, as kind and as gentle. What's the worst thing she ever said about me?
Oh, we're just big Alabama fans. She didn't say that much bad about you. Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. He just doesn't like Alabama. But anyway, I wanted to ask your opinion. If you think Pete Golding's actually not a great defensive coordinator, if you just think Alabama fans are being, for lack of a better word, kind of babies about the Florida game.
Well, let me say this, and I'm as guilty as the next person. When Alabama doesn't play well, we all want to blame someone, and we know we can't blame Nick Saban because he has nothing to do with the game plan. He's just a figurehead head coach, isn't he?
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's verboten to criticize Nick Saban. So we pick on the coordinator. I mean, Legend came in here the other day and wanted everybody fired but Saban.
Right, yeah. I remember when Legend called in. I just don't think that, you know, the first two games of the season, you didn't really hear that much about Alabama fans saying bad about Pete Golding.
Well, but here's the problem with David. I was told, I mean, everyone, we all have sources that you know, there are degrees of sources. There's some that you believe everything they say. Some you take it with a grain of salt. Some you know they probably don't know what they're talking about. But I had people that at the highest level of integrity when it comes to displaying or disseminating credible information were telling me this is going to be the best Alabama defense you've ever seen, and I'm still waiting to see it, but that doesn't mean we won't see it eventually. I think the game, you can be an optimist and find things with the game against Florida and maybe hope that they get a few things corrected and maybe get the attention of a couple of players. I thought McElroy's comments the other day were very interesting. He singled out two of Alabama's best players and used the word disappointed in how they played. And it's also worth remembering Alabama's best defensive player. We weren't even sure he was going to play in the game. I'm not making excuses for him because he played pretty well, but I think he's probably capable of playing at a much higher level. Thank you for the call. Let's check in with Myron, who is in Florida. Hello, Myron.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Hey, Myron. Good afternoon.
Yeah, first time caller, man. Well, what I want to say is I don't know who talking about Florida is happy with a loss. I'm not happy with a loss. These fans are definitely not happy with a loss. I've been mad since last week, Paul. And, Paul, but what really upset me is that Nick Saban got off the bus in Alabama. He came straight to Florida and got all our great players, and they made him. We're talking about Trent Richardson from Pensacola, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, Amari Cooper, Kevin Ridley.
How about a few wide receivers from down in South Florida?
Oh, Jerry Judy, Deerfield Beach.
That's what I was thinking of.
Derrick Henry, Yulee, Florida. Matt Jones, Jacksonville, Florida. Patrick Sertan, man, this list goes on and on and on. And then, you know, that's what makes me mad. But that's how they are dominating. Them guys got Nick Saban so much rings, he got ring around. Paul, what do you think about us beating Georgia this year? That's what I really want to ask you about.
Yeah, I mean, Myron, I've already given an answer on that, but I will tell you, I want to think about it because I want to see. I mean, there's just too many games that are going to factor into my ultimate conclusion on that game. It's still 5 to 6 weeks off. The game is getting larger and larger by the hour, and I can't wait. It's always one of my favorite stops of the year, but I think I was in the category of absolutely Georgia's going to win that game. That was a week ago. Now I'm saying, can you give me a little more time on that, Myron?
Right. I just want a chance.
Yeah. Back to you? I'll have my assistant call your assistant with an answer.
All right.
Hey, thanks for the call. Thanks. And by the way, I do not have an assistant. I have people. Don't know who those people are, but I have them. Let's take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Team is going to join us. We're also going to do something new that we haven't done before. We're going to call it One Thing. It's in regards to SEC football, of course. Yeah. It is one thing that we know, one thing we think we know, and one thing we aren't too sure about just yet. So we'll give you a little preview. All right. One thing that we know. Alyssa, what's one thing you know right now?
I was going to say, no matter what we say, I know there's going to be people out there keeping Correct. Receipts so that they can come back in 6 weeks and be like, yes. You didn't know anything. But the one thing that I know right now is that Georgia has the best defense in the country, not the SEC, in the entire country. When you look at the defensive rankings in the entire country, all over total defense, you got Iowa State and Wisconsin, the only two teams ahead of Georgia. They're not better defenses than Georgia. I'm talking N'Kobe Dean, Channing Tindall, two names in that linebacking core that are absolutely nasty. Kelee Ringo, Darion Kendrick, Lewis Seen, Tyke Smith. These are guys who we're going to see play on Sunday. And by the way, Drea, I haven't even hit the D line yet. We're talking Jordan Davis, who last week we saw sprint like 40 yards to chase somebody down. They've had one singular touchdown scored on them all season long, and it was a garbage time touchdown by South Carolina. Before then, their first two opponents, Clemson and UAB, had not hit the end zone against the defense. They did get in the end zone, but on an offensive interception. Yep. So this unit is nasty, and I'm putting them up against anybody in the country.
And you've got them this weekend, right? Yeah. You've got the Georgia game.
Yeah, Georgia Vandy.
In listening or learning more and more about them, how bought in do they seem to the because they're skilled, they're talented, they're athletic, but how bought in are these guys?
Well, a lot of these guys are veterans, right? They understand their assignment. They understand where they're supposed to be, what their role is. And you always see that on these really talented teams, whether it's the offensive or the defensive side of the football. And just watching their first few games of the season, you can tell everybody's bought in. Everybody understands what the end goal is. And they just play with a sense of physicality that's scary. Shane Beamer talked about it after the game against Georgia when South Carolina went down to Athens. And he was like, yeah, they got a bunch of five stars. I don't know what you want me to say. And they're playing like five stars.
Oh,
What's the one thing you know?
The one thing that I know, and this is on period, no one can debate this with me. I don't care who you are. The SEC is the best conference in the nation in regards to football. There is no conference that is close to the SEC. We have, what, seven teams in the top 25? Yeah. I want to say the Big Ten maybe has five, but it's not even close. Like, when I think about teams that are in the top 10 still, right, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma, I'm taking some of our middle-of-the-way top 25 SEC teams over those top 10 teams still. I mean, if you just think top to bottom, the talent that is in the SEC, the way that we compete, I've seen it. I was impressed by Florida against Alabama. That leveled things up for me,
absolutely,
right? I wasn't as impressed with Penn State, right? So that kind of dropped Penn State for me. So when I just watch going into week four, what I've seen so far from week three, I think the SEC top to bottom, so talented. I want to say that I know we can get two teams in. I don't know how it happened. So I'm just going to say I know the SEC is the most talented conference.
So that leads me right into the thing that I think I know, and that's that I do believe that there will be two SEC teams in the college football playoff. And one of them could be Ole Miss. So one of the things that I think I know is that Ole Miss could be a college football playoff contender. Look at their schedule. All they have to do is beat Alabama in 2 weeks and then win the rest of their schedule, which there's going to be some challenges on there, but winnable games compared to what we've seen from Ole Miss so far. Even if they go to Atlanta and lose to Georgia, the last couple of years have shown us that you don't necessarily have to win your conference championship game to go to the CFP. Look at Notre Dame and Clemson last year. They could lose to Georgia and still go to the playoff.
See, one thing that I think I know, you said lose to Georgia. I think that I know that the East is going to come down to Georgia defense versus Florida offense.
Okay.
That's what I think the East is going to come down to. So that's one thing we know and one thing that we think we know. And we've got all that and more right after your show, Paul. Tune in, people.
We are glad you're back, and let's continue with your phone calls. Frank is in Queens. Hello, Frank.
How are you? Shabbat Shalom.
What is Shabbat Shalom? Lashana Tova.
Yeah, I listen to two people in my lifetime. I listen to Mike Frances, and I listen to Paul Feinbaum.
Oh, my goodness.
That's why when my – yeah, exactly. That
back after this.
Paul Feinbaum. Yeah, exactly. Back after this. When my buddy Stitch said – Paul Feinbaum said Lane Kiffin should go to USC. I was like, no way. There's no way. There's no way in hell this man would never say this. He's Meshuggah, right?
Meshuggah was one of my mother's favorite words. Okay, let me explain how you heard that. Okay, I was doing a podcast, and on podcasts you tend to forget you're being heard by anyone other than the person you're talking to. And I was more making a point, like, wouldn't it be insane if Lane Kiffin ended up there and I told the story about what happened 8 years ago? I don't think he'll get the job. I really don't. And I'm not really – whether I advocated or not is irrelevant. I think he would be good, but I think he's probably better off where he is. But so it got picked up. It was disseminated, and there was a headline, I think, in one of the – Mississippi papers making it look like I was advocating that. And I've heard from Kiffin about that as well.
All right, because I'll admit I didn't listen to the podcast. I just read
I don't want to come down on the industry I'm in, but because I do a lot of interviews and I'm well aware by now. It caught me off. When you say something in the social media world, people are going to take whatever they want. That's great. Only Charles Barkley can claim that he was misquoted in his own autobiography. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, because he shouldn't even be coaching at Mississippi. I mean, you agree on that. He's came from the most deceptive programs ever with Pete Carroll, and you want him back there. I couldn't believe it. So,
frankly, I don't think that it's even remotely possible, but in the pantheon of Hollywood divorces, it would be one of the all-time great comeback stories. So he's not going. Glad we could clear that up. Now, my question to you is, how would Mike Francesa have handled that call?
He wouldn't have let anyone talk more than 5 seconds. That's why you're the second greatest. That's why he's the second greatest of all time.
I did his show one time many, many years ago, and I don't even remember the circumstances. And I'm telling you what, it was quite an experience. Because, I mean, he is legendary.
Well, he's like God, and you're like Jesus, and Jesus was Jewish as well, so it's a good analogy, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know what he's doing now. I haven't really. I know he retired, and then he came back, and who knows what anybody does.
But when I was in New York a couple of days a week, the last couple of years, that's all I would hear from cabbies of it was Francesa. Well, I take that back. Maybe a couple of years before that. Hey, good to hear from you. Yeah, it's legendary figures in New York radio, Howard Stern, Mike Francesa. And now us. You can hear us in New York right now. How many people do you think driving down Fifth Avenue are listening to this? Oh. Yeah, Mark Kubiak just said 30. I don't know if that was 30 to the end of the hour or 30 people in New York listening. The 30 number may have been a little high. Let's take a break. We have John Adams in the final hour and more of your phone calls.